All right, so starting the tape, and I'm going to do our lesson. So we're doing a series. I'm assuming this is the last one. We're doing a series about the church. Got it? So first of all, we looked at what is the church. And we found out there's a number of metaphors that God uses to describe his church. One is the bride of Christ. That brings up some great thoughts. Another one is the body of Christ. So the bride of Christ, how honored we are and how special we are and our intimate relationship with Jesus. The body of Christ, which means he's the head, we do what he says, number one. But number two, it also means we are the way he works in the church. The head without a body can't do a whole lot. And then we looked at the church being the sort of visual presence of the kingdom of God on the earth. All right, and then we did a lesson on the purpose of the church, and we found a fourfold purpose of the church. Number one, and the primary, the foremost purpose of the church is to give glory to God, but also to spread the knowledge of God through the church, all right, to create a united people where unity never would have existed outside of God's church, and also to edify and mature the church to kind of, you know, raise people up to be a nest from which to send people up. Okay? Then, the last lesson, which is a two-parter, is the life of the church. In other words, okay, great. That's what the church is. That's how it relates to the kingdom. That's its purpose. But then, what's the church supposed to be like? What should be the qualities that it would have? So we looked at a number. We looked in Ephesians 4. And the first quality we saw is that the church is very, very different from the world. The church is like a city on a hill. It's the things that are going to stick out. He says, we put off the old self in the church, and in the new church we put on the new self. So the church is going to be a place, it doesn't act like the world. Significantly different. In fact, tonight's lesson will be an example. And we'll talk about one aspect of the church is like, The world, they like, you're kidding. Seriously? Really? Yeah, really. Okay? Point number two, the church is a safe place. The church is a place where, you know, we speak our mind, but we do it in love. The church is a place where, you know, of course, this is the ideal, right? The truth is the church is not 100% guaranteed always completely safe. Okay, being realistic. But that's definitely what God expects of it, right? Because we speak the truth in love, and we don't let the sun go down on our anger. And we train ourselves, we learn to take a deep breath before you say what you're about to say or do what you're about to do. The third point of what the church is supposed to be like is a holy place. We're going to spend more time on this point than any other. That was... We weren't done with that last week. We're going to continue with that. So we looked at many things about the church that makes it holy. Holy means separate, different, apart. All right, got it? So, first we saw in Ephesians 4:29 that we're holy and that we do not let any unwholesome talk come from our mouths. We are careful in what we say, rude jokes, sarcasm, these kinds of things. B, we adamantly pursue speaking only things which will build other people up. We spent a lot of time here. I parked there, right? All right, because this is so different from what we learned in the world. So different. All right, and by the way, the church is not like this fully. This is the ideal that we're strongly striving toward, which is no word comes out of our mouth other than ones which could, at least in principle, build somebody up. Now, talking about the Himalayan mountains, whether it builds or tears, you know what I'm saying. There's conversations we have that don't really fall into this category. All right? But when we're dealing with personal things, with feelings, with talking, especially talking about other people, especially those who are not in the room, or even if they are in the room. Okay? So... We talked about, 10 encouragements for every admonishment. We talked about having a adamant refusal to participate in gossip. In fact, in Ephesians 4:30, right after saying about only speaking words that are encouraging, that build each other up, he talks about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. That's how significant this teaching is. All right? And then C, we abhor every form of bitterness, rage, anger, and verbal brawling. What I said is, I've seen gossip happening in our club and in our church. I've seen it. I've even had to point it out occasionally. This other one, I've never seen, okay? But still, good. Now, we're going to start with some new material. Finally, we're starting our class. So, Ephesians 5. We already read it, but we're going to reread it. It was a week ago. Plus, we have at least one friend who wasn't here last week, so all the more reason to reread it. Ephesians 5, verse 3 through 7. Now, we're under the subheading, the qualities of the church, right? What characterizes the church? The church is very different from the world. The church is a safe place. Now we're under the church is a holy place. Yes, you're stretching your neck there. That's true. Okay, good. Here we go. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. What an interesting list. Sexual immorality, impurity, and then greed? A strange combination, huh? The first two, those seem like, wow, those are, impurity, sexual immorality, and then greed? To me, these are like, I want to be careful using this language. These are like cardinal sins. These are sins of the worst sort in the church. All right? By the way, I'm not saying this is the whole list, and I don't want to make a big theological statement about this. I would get in trouble here. We don't have mortal and venial sins. But I would say that Paul is pointing out three sins that he says absolutely ruled out. Not even a hint. Not only don't do it, don't do anything which could even appear as if it were that. So how about driving a BMW? I don't know. Not even a hint. See what I'm saying? Is it a sin to drive BMW? Of course it's not. Well, maybe it could be for some people. Get the idea? So let me finish reading this. Not even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place. Already talked about that. But rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Woo! Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. And he's talking about disciples here. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Okay, pretty strong language. All right, it says, not even a hint. All right? So I think you probably already knew that having sex with somebody you're not married to, that's definitely ruled out in Christianity, right? And of course, that never happens in the church. It's happened. It's happened. Okay? Hate to say it. Or any kind of impurity. All right? So you can imagine what that might include. It says, not only don't do it, it says, don't even have a hint. So in our behavior, especially between male and female, that's what we're talking about here, we shouldn't be doing actions that could even cause a person to think, wow, why are they doing that? I don't know. All right? That seems pretty intrusive. Oh, and greed as well, right? And greed as well. All right? So this is a very, very high standard here, folks. Very, I mean, not even the suggestion that it might be there. Okay? And I'm gonna get in your face a little bit. I'm gonna talk about stuff that I think happens within our fellowship at times. Okay? So, I want to advise that we be very, very careful about men and women in the church spending time alone together. Full stop. Okay? Now, this is advice. This is not a commandment. It's not a sin. Okay? All right? Because if we make it like a commandment or a rule, it's going to get weird really fast. But I'm going to give an example. Last Saturday, I put out a little group me. Hey, I want to go to Mission Impossible. Who wants to come? Okay, got it? And guess who was the only person who was going to go other than me? Cassie. So guess what I did? I told her, you need to stay home. I'm not going to go to a movie with Cassie. I'm not going to do it. Okay? Why not? You know, do you think there's any chance, I mean, let's be real about it. Do you think there's any chance that something untoward would happen if we went to, of course not. Well, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 10. Maybe I shouldn't even say that. Okay. But really, is that a serious risk? Okay. But that's what we chose to do. Because it's just some random person walks into the theater and they see me, you know, a minister working for the Merced Christian Church sitting next to this, you know, young thing. All right. So what's it say here? What's the wording in this passage? Not even a hint. Got it? And I'm going to get really specific and real with you. Okay. I'm going to be really real with you. I have occasionally, you know, I've given a lot of people rides. All right. And for example, I've given Keandra rides at times. All right. And, you know, if the only person that's available to give Keandra a ride is me, then I'll just give her a ride. All right. But generally, Jen said, bring somebody else with you. And I'm like, that's my honest feeling. It sounds legalistic, but you know what? What's it say? Not even a hint. All right? Again, there's exceptions to this. I don't want to throw out a rule. That rule will become really weird and even stupid at some point. It will. All right? Okay? But I'm not backing down on what I'm saying. What did I just say? I said, brothers and sisters, be extremely careful about spending time alone with a person of the opposite sex that you're not married to. I'm not backing down on that at all. All right? And if you have an exception, then maybe let somebody know. Oh, by the way, this is happening. Just so I want you to know that. All right? I'll give you an example. I ran the honors program for Grossmont College for many years, and we had these meetings in LA, and there was one other honors director, all right, and in San Diego County, so we would ride together occasionally to these meetings, all right, and it was really hard to figure out another way to do it, so I would always make sure that Jen knew that was happening and always tell her how, you know, talk about what happened as what we talked about when we get home, that kind of stuff. Not even a hint. Was it ever a problem? No. Was I uncomfortable about doing it? I was every single time, to be honest with you. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I'm kind of drilling down deep on this one, okay? And I wish there were some other people here that should be here that need to hear this, okay? All right, 1 Timothy, let me see, 5, 1 and 2. 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 2. So even the leader of this group has admitted that I've struggled with feeling like, oh, that's legalistic. But then I'm saying that as a confession, not as a defense. Got that, folks? Got that? That's what I'm saying. And if I'm struggling and like, oh, this feels legalistic, probably you might struggle with that as well, with this advice, this rather strong advice. Okay, good. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2, it says, do not rebuke an older man harshly. So therefore, if you're going to rebuke me, you better be gentle because I'm the only old man around here. I would say older man or woman, right? But exhort him as you would your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. All right? So this is advice from Paul to Timothy, who's a minister. Okay, got it? And so basically saying, in the role of leading a church, he's going to have situations that involve him shepherding or giving advice to or whatever, to sisters, women. You know what I'm saying? He's saying, treat them as sisters. Okay? Treat them as somebody with whom the very thought of doing anything even remotely, imagine like kissing your sister or, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, perish the thought. All right. With absolute purity. What level of purity? What level of purity? Absolute. All right. Like not even getting in a situation that could, you know, honestly, you know, you're a guy, she's a girl, or you're a girl, he's a guy. By the way, I believe that older women should treat younger men as brothers as well. I think it applies both ways. Got it? So, you know, like I said, if for any reason it just seems like, okay, here's the situation, then, you know, we're probably going to spend some time alone with this sister, I would say, don't, but if you do because it does make sense, just get advice about it, okay? That's why we suggest to younger Christians to do double dating. All right? That's why we suggest that. Again, it says, not even a hint, not even the appearance of evil, not even the possible appearance. Is this legalism? No. Could it become legalism? Absolutely it could. It could become legalism very easily. All right? If we apply it, you know, carte blanche, and you, like I said, we'll start doing stupid things pretty quickly. All right? But it's in the Bible. Right? Not even a hint. So that's why we're saying it. Legalism would be making myself the church's enforcer of this. You are not the enforcer of this. If somebody does, you say, well, I don't know, was that a good idea? And then, you know, you kind of have to let people make their choices. Okay? Right? So what we need here is conviction, not a bunch of rules and a bunch of rule enforcing. If everybody had strong convictions about this, it wouldn't be a problem. But it is a problem. It has been a problem. I know that because there's been a couple things that have happened. All right? So there you go. All right. So let me give you a few examples of somebody that, in my personal opinion, has the hint of impurity or immorality. I would say examples would be talking to a member of the opposite sex after midnight on the phone or texting. I just put it out there. Okay, I feel that's, yeah, that, why? Why would you text female person? Why would you text a guy after midnight? What? I just can't imagine a good reason to do that. So I'd say, and besides, even if it didn't make, I don't know, Josh have an appearance, to me it would have an appearance of evil. I'll tell you that right now. I'll tell you that right now. To me, that would have an appearance of evil. So there you go. Okay? I don't want to give you a rule. I'm just telling you another thing. I would say, spending time alone with a person of opposite sex in their bedroom, that's a really, really bad idea. Or even in an apartment. Even in an apartment. Just the two of you alone in an apartment. I'm sorry. That has the appearance. Okay, I would say talking about really intimate things with, you know, just a random person who's not of the same sex as you. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure about that one. Now, what we say is, I'm fine. I'm an exception. I mean, that's true, but, you know, I'm different. You know, that doesn't apply to me. That's what we tend to say. That's just, I think I just swallowed a fly. We human beings think we're the exception. We think, yeah, I know, but that doesn't apply to me. In fact, to some extent, even when Jan was kind of getting on me, thank you, Jan, about the whole, you know, giving women rides when it wasn't necessary. All right. I thought, well, yeah, well, come on, as if that would happen to me kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Which is true, except for the appearance. That's right. There's the appearance. It's not whether it would happen, whether it's even the appearance. Okay? All right. Anyway, like I said, there's exceptions, but. All right. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. I want to back up what I just said with scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. So I'm dealing with the point, again, point number four in what the church is supposed to be like, life in the church is, it's a pure place. And then item D under that was not even a hint of sexual morality, of impurity, or of greed. So we're in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. So I'm dealing with this. Well, I'm the exception. I know, but that's legalistic. In this case, that would be legalistic, which may be so, but maybe not. All right, so here we go. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can endure it. All right, so basically saying, if you think that wouldn't be a problem for me, the very act of saying that wouldn't be a problem for me on some level suggests possibility that that means it is a problem for you. Not in every case. I'm not saying that Katie, because I'm not tempted at all to rob a store. So therefore, take heed lest you fall, because you're next thing you know. But just as a general rule, especially male-female relationships, if you think you've got this down, that's a good reason to have caution. And then God says he will give you a way of escape. All right, what's the way of escape? Well, the advice I just gave you. Don't text them after midnight. Don't spend time alone. The way of escape is to follow the advice. And if there is an exception, just talk to, just kind of check with somebody to make sure that, in this case, just go ahead. Come on, just go ahead. Kind of thing. Got it? All right, so that's that passage. All right, he says, God will provide a way of escape, but here it is, not even a hint, okay? Back in Ephesians 5. All right, Ephesians 5. Actually, I already made this next point, but I'm going to go there anyway. Ephesians 5, it's getting dark, so we're going to have to end in about 10 minutes no matter what. All right. So again, in verse 5, he's repeating himself because he needs to. For he says, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why does he say not even a hint? Because, if you allow a hint to come in, at some point, you're probably going to allow the thing to come in. And again, I'm calling these three, sexual morality, impurity, and greed. I'm using the terminology cardinal sins. Okay, I'm not even talking about greed simply because I want to harp on this other topic. But greed is another area of purity. All right? He says, don't be deceived here, verse 6. Don't be deceived. If Paul tells us don't be deceived, why would he tell us not to be deceived? Because we're easily deceived. All right, and I'll tell you, you know, Jan and I, we've worked with singles for many, many years. For 12 years, we led a singles ministry. For the last 6.5 years, we've been leading college ministries. And we kind of give pretty much the same advice. You know what I'm saying? Pretty much the same advice wherever we go. Okay? And I couldn't tell you the number of times a person would, they kind of start getting this, you know, this stuff, this guy-girl thing going, you know? By the way, God created you to have that guy-girl thing going. It's kind of wired into our brains. It just happens, right? But this guy-girl thing gets started, and suddenly the advice they would have given anybody else, they don't give it to themselves, right? You know, in other words, if it had been somebody else, they would have said, don't do that, that's a bad idea. But then they do it themselves. Suddenly, when we start feeling that stuff, we become total idiots. We become morons, stupid people. That's just what happens. How do I know that? I've seen it 100 times. Besides, Paul says, in these three areas, sexual morality, impurity, and greed, do not be deceived. The reason he says that is because we're easily deceived. And as Americans, we're very easily deceived about greed. Are you kidding? I'm just not harping on that right now. That's just not the one I chose to harp on. But I could have. All right? Not even a hint. All right, let's move on. Ephesians 5, 8 through 21. I'm only going to get a couple of points from this one. It's a long-ish reading. I'm only going to take a couple of fairly small points from it, but I'm going to read it all. Ephesians 5, 8 through 21. Says, for you once darkness, ouch, but true, but now you're the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful, then, how you live. Got it? Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. I don't think that's a major problem in people here, but if it is, then let's talk about that. Which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay? So again, this is a list of things kind of saying we are different. We already made that point, though. There's just two little things I'm going to pick out here. One is verse 11. In verse 11, it says, having nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that if there is some darkness going on, such as greed or sexual immorality or impurity, we need to expose it. What's that mean? Well, I'm not sure exactly. I'm really not sure. I think it very, very, very much depends on the situation. But possibly if you are aware that one of these things is going on, probably you should expose it by talking to that person. And please don't accuse. Please ask questions. All right, that's what Jesus did. And just find out what's going on. Let's just bring it out into the light. Okay? That might be enough. just expose it. Bring it out into the light, just between you and that other person. That might be enough. But not always. Possibly, it's an ongoing repeating situation, in which case that person might need to confess to somebody else. Or even to a group, possibly. Okay? But in these areas, we need to bring it out into the light. Not keep it hidden. That's for sure. You say, well, you know, I committed this impurity, the sexual morality. I'm just not going to do it anymore. You and I just keep quiet about it. I've actually literally had a brother say that to me. You know, yeah, we decided that we wouldn't tell anybody. What? Yeah, we decided to not tell anybody. Oh, this is the church. Anyway. Next. Then verse 21. It says, submit to one another. Again, the topic is, what should the church be like? What should life in the church be like? All right? Our point number three was, the church is a holy church. And our point number four is just whatever it says here, which includes the church involves people submitting to each other. Now, wait a minute. How's that work? Let's say that I'm submitting to Cassie and Cassie's submitting to me. Well, that's confusing. If I'm submitting to her, that means she's over me. And if she's submitting to me, that means I'm over her. So who's over who? That's not what this is about. This is not about who's over who. What's it say? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then I'll talk about wives submitting to their husbands later on. But, all right, so here's what it means to me. It means we all have thoughts. We all have feelings. We all have desires. We all have interests. And at some point, it is only fair and reasonable to let people know what your desires, interests, you know, whatever. All right, we got a movie night coming up. You know what I'm saying? And so if you want to have movie X, tell Malcolm. But what if you don't, your movie doesn't get chosen? Then what's it say? Come on, dude. Come on, dudette. Come on, we submit to each other. So the church, this is kind of related to the church as a safe place, because the church is a place where you could tell people what you think, what you want, what you'd like to have happen, how you hope things will be done, blah, blah, blah. But it's a place where, having done that, you say, but just so you know, all right? And if it doesn't go that way, amen, praise the Lord. I think that's what we're talking about in this submitting to one another thing. So the church is a place where this submission happens, is a place where we express our thoughts, our opinions, our goals, our desires, but we readily give way to somebody else's thoughts, opinions, goals, and desires for the sake of unity. All right, now what if one person does that and the other one doesn't do that? That really stinks. That's why it's submit to one another, all right? It's never going to be perfectly equal. There's always going to be one person who's more into control and one person who's less. You know, we're imperfect people, but this is what the Bible says. All right? So, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, right? Let's read that. Philippians 2, 3, and 4. This is a passage I would apply here. How am I doing? I'm running out of time. That's all right. All right. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. In your relationship with each other, have the same mindset as Christ, who definitely put you above himself. By the way, let's take this in its context. All right? When he says, consider others better than yourselves, he doesn't mean think of yourself as this worm, the lowest possible person, everybody's better than me. I think what he means is submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, be willing to put the interest of others before your own interests. It doesn't mean say nothing, never express your opinion. No, 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 no. That's not what it is. All right. So that, there you go. And I would say the church is also a place where we get advice on big decisions. I think that's part of submitting to one another. When we're making big decisions, we put it out there and we let people at least comment. Advice is advice, right? If somebody gives you advice, you don't have to take that advice. All right, this is getting really personal, but today Jan gave me the advice to not wear a white shirt. I had a reason for, maybe not a very good reason, because I just put it on. And in fact, I said, you haven't worn that shirt for a long time. I'm going to wear that shirt today. So you know what? It was just advice, and Jan, she didn't get offended. But I hope I listened to her. In fact, I hope next time I'm going to whatever, I'll think, well, maybe I should wear a darker shirt or whatever. Okay, got it? I don't know if that's even the best example. What I'm saying is, because that was not an important decision. That was a really small, that's a very small decision. But I'm telling you, if you're thinking of taking a job, get advice. If you're thinking of moving somewhere, get advice. If you're thinking of moving forward in a male-female relationship, get advice. All these big decisions, always, always, always get advice. That's part of submitting to one another. Now, the rest of Ephesians is really mainly admonitions both within families, like husband, wife, children, all that sort of stuff. I'm not going to cover that. And it's also personal advice, like put on the full armor of God. But this lesson is about the church. So there's only one little tiny section in Ephesians that's about the church. So that's the only other verse we're going to read in Ephesians. And that is Ephesians chapter 6, 18 through 20. I had another section I was going to do, but I'm not going to do it. Because it's almost 8:30, and we have our discussion groups. It's getting dark. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. So this is finishing out, at least for now. Who knows, we might do one more week. On our lesson on life in the church. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. All right, it says here, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So our last point. All right, remember, the subject is the life of the church. Number one, the church is a place that is very different. We have standards of behavior that the world would actually laugh at in some cases. Number one. Number two, the church is a safe place. Perfectly safe? Okay, we're human, but it's much safer. And the church is a holy place. Last point, the church is a praying place. It's a place where all kinds of prayers happen. And he says, do all kinds of prayers. Well, how many kinds of prayers are there? It's just praying. I don't know. Just pray. Well, you know, Paul, he was a specialist in prayer. He probably had a list. He probably had an 8-point outline, all the different kinds of prayers. I don't even know what his outline might be. All right. I don't know. Group prayers, individual prayers, public prayers, private prayers, short prayers, long prayers, adoration prayers, praise prayers, confession prayers. All right. All kinds of prayers. It says, always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. All right. Who did you pray for today? All right. Who did you pray for today? Jan can raise her hand and say a lot of people. My list was pretty long this morning. I had a pretty decent list. I can't say I prayed for everybody here. I definitely didn't pray for you. Never met you. All right? But this is a specific thing. Pray for everybody in the church. Now, if you're in a church of 500 people, don't pray. Pray for everybody in your Bible group, I guess. All right? Got it? We need to be praying for each other. Right? Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray for your leaders, right? He says, pray for your leaders. Specifically, pray for them. So, pray for me. All right? Good. Now, I was going to read Acts 2, 42 through 47, which I believe is the paradigmatic model church in the entire Bible. But I ran out of time. But he does say they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That might mean we have to do one more week on this whole thing. Maybe we'll do one more week on the church. But in any case, this leads me to our discussion questions, which we normally have up on the screen. So when we do our groups, I don't know how we'll do it. But our discussion questions are, number one, this is a really hard question, and feel free to pass. All right, please do not pressure anybody in your group on this question, okay? Because here's the question. Has there ever been a situation in which you did not fully implement the admonition to avoid even the hint of sexual immorality or impurity? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever been in a situation? Allowed yourself to be in a situation in which you did not fully implement this admonition to avoid even a hint of sexual morality. Okay? I've already done that. I've already made my confession. I gave you two examples. Okay? So, but this is such a sensitive question. I'd say, please don't put any pressure on somebody. Oh, okay, your turn. All right. So let people volunteer and leave it at that, please. Question number two. What ways can you do a better job of submitting to one another? Okay? Can you think of some practical ways you can do a better job of what Paul said to do here, which is submit to one another? And we could probably skip question number three because without it being up on the screen, we'll be able to remember it. But I'll throw it out there if you guys want to go through it. It said, devoted to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Of those, which one do you feel like you do pretty okay on? And which one do you feel like you could grow in? All right, so we have groups. Maybe we could do, let's have a guy group over here and two girl groups. Yeah, let's do that for our discussion, just because of the nature of the question. All right, got it? So we three guys are going to go over here for our group discussion. Wow, we have more women than men tonight.
Wow.
Interesting. That's worth noting, I would say. But Malcolm's going to have his guys group tomorrow night, and they'll be there and make up for that. Okay.